Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to our radio show for the love of learning. This is Christine DiDomenico. I'm one of the co-hosts. Simone Fedor will not be with us today. If you haven't joined us before, this show for the love of learning is about all different topics to explore in life. We've talked about money and relationships and joy and so many other topics that are archived. You can listen to our past shows. And if you'd like to call in with a question today, our call-in number is 713-955-0424. And the title of our show today is What's Beyond New Year Resolutions? And our guest today is Crystal Crawford. Crystal is an Access Consciousness facilitator. She's an author and a coach. She's created a thriving online facilitation and coaching business. And she says she spends her time wondering, creating, and randomly bursting into song. So how much fun is that? Welcome, Crystal.
Hi, Christine.
So, Crystal, you said that I'm doing really well. And, you know, here we are. The holidays are now behind us. I guess today's officially still a holiday. But for most of us, the holiday's over. I know I've started cleaning up the decorations. And usually with the new year, one of the things we hear so many people talking about is new year resolutions. So we'll talk about that a little today. But before we do that, Crystal, you also mentioned that you came from a place of abuse and have now created this thriving and joyful life. So can you just give us a little bit of background about where you've come from and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, we could spend the whole rest of the day on that. the short version is I grew up in a big family. There was five of us. And my mom and dad they fought violently. So there was a lot of tumultuous energy always going on in our house. And there was sexual abuse in the family with my dad. And so when I was 13, I shared that with my mom. And so our whole lives changed as she got, the social services involved in the States. And we started going to courts. And so school and home were both very, very challenging for me. In school, I was incredibly smart, but it was very different. We also grew up in a really interesting religion, and so nothing about me was socially acceptable. So growing up was just challenging. And as I got into my 20s and I started dating, I started really, wondering and asking, there just had to be more than this, than just this life, and then you die. So around the time of 18, I became a Christian, and found, I guess, my purpose there. I was looking for my purpose, and I ended up going on a missions trip to China and smuggling Bibles. And when I was 25, I chose to go to Bible school to really sort of get my feet under me, because the thing that I was missing more than anything was knowing who I was or feeling any sort of grounded was the only word I could come up with at the time. Instead of feeling like a leaf in the wind, actually really feeling like I knew what I was doing here and I was, creating my life. I didn't have those words at the time, but that's really why I went. And so that was Bible school was a 2.5-year experience in Alabama, in the southern United States. That was definitely one of the most pivotal choices in my life. And at the end of that school, I was ready to get married. I was 27. Everyone else was doing it. I literally looked around the room where I was and my circle of friends, and I was like, well, there's only one person in here that I would marry. And so I was like, well, let's marry them. And so we got married that's sort of how it was. There were feelings expressed, and he and I have been friends for a couple of years. It was one of those. And so we got married and really struggled. I went into that relationship with all kinds of expectations of, when you get married, you stop working. And when you get married, you blah, blah, blah. And I had so many weird, bizarre expectations. And so so he didn't have a job. He was Canadian living in the States, and he didn't have his paperwork. And so we lost our house because I quit my job, and we just really struggled. I ended up moving back up to Canada, and we spent 5 years in and out of different business things. We owned a pizzeria, and then got divorced and got remarried right away. I was like 6 months after that divorce, I was remarried. And another 5 years in a really challenging relationship and divorced again. And I would say for the past 4 to 5 years, I have really been exploring what's true for me with relationship. And three or four years ago, I found Access Consciousness. And throughout the whole time of my life, because it was just so tumultuous and I really didn't feel like I had any life skills, or I just struggled to be happy. In my second marriage at around 35, I was on the lawn in front of my farmhouse, just drilling myself into the ground with tears. And I was done. I was out of here. I was going to go drown myself in the bathtub, get drunk. And I think what stopped me was the thought of them having to pull my waterlogged body out of the upstairs bathroom. I was like, oh, just felt kind of rude, you know? The universe brought me this woman, and we started really working on me not with the Access Consciousness tools, but that modality started helping me get my feet under me. And about a year and a half later, I found Access Consciousness. And what really struck me about the tools of Access was that it was incredibly fast change that stayed. Like, you didn't revert after you got your bars run, or after you ran some clearing statements. You actually just stayed different. And the speed at which you could do that was just, that sold me. I was like, because I love moving fast. And I was like, oh my God, fast and permanent, I'm in. So that's really what did it. And probably 8 months after my first foundation, I became a certified facilitator. So I've really been actively playing and creating my life with these crazy tools since then. And I would say my life doesn't resemble anything that it did before Access came into my life. So yeah,
that is awesome.
That's
cool. Well, unlike you, or like you, I had a different childhood, but I too at 22 was at the point, you know, I had finished college, and the person that was in my life, I would marry because that was the next step in life, and happened to be there was this man who I married for 20 years, and then got divorced. But it was the same. It was very similar in that, all right, this is what you do. This is what everybody else is doing. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have 3 kids. I'm going to have the nice house, and which had really nothing to do with my choice, really. I mean, it was my choice, but it was not coming from a place of awareness. So so using that piece of information, how can we, I'm thinking about New Year's resolutions and how that's the thing that everybody does. So what can we do different rather than making a New Year's resolution to lose weight or get a better job or whatever it is, to create something that we actually desire in our life?
Well, it's a multifaceted thing. I mean, one of the biggest pieces is, if you're going to choose to make a resolution or make a choice, or, you know, go, even if it, let's just say it is to lose weight, just to start with, like, the first thing I'd invite everybody to do is, if you're going to choose that, then put into place as well the tools that are going to help you not judge yourself if you choose something different. One thing I noticed about New Year's resolutions or anything in life that, you know, you say you want to create with your life is that you say you want to create something, or you say you want to lose weight, or you say you want to eat healthier. These are really common things. I want to lose weight. I want to eat healthier. You know, I want to get more sleep. I want to, you know, start working out. I think there's some crazy percentage of gym memberships that get signed up for in January that never get used again in February. Like, it's like 70 or 80%. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But Okay, cool. So you choose that. And then, so what tools can you use then to not judge yourself after? Because this is what I noticed about New Year's resolutions. It's like we say something, we sort of pretend or look like we're choosing it, and then we stop. And then we spend the rest of the year in bits and pieces judging ourselves for stopping that. And that's what I noticed. It's like we set ourselves up to judge ourselves. So, I mean, you know, the most popular tools of access that seem so basic are, okay, interesting point of view. I have this point of view. Like, as soon as you create a point of view, as soon as you create a point of view that you need to lose weight or you have to do this or you have to do this, you've created a projection and an expectation of yourself. So if you project it onto yourself that you have to do this, you've expected it of yourself. And what Gary Douglas always says is, like, projections and expectations set us up for separation, rejection, separation, judgment, and rejection. So you project and expect of yourself, and so that you can separate, judge, and reject yourself, which sounds insane, but, like, how many of us do that all the time? And you know, I came onto this, you know, the show, The Love of Learning. One of the things that I love learning about is myself. I was like, oh, I totally created that situation for myself by expecting that I was going to do it this way or by deciding that this is the way it should be. Instead of asking, what would I like to create? So that would be the first thing. It's like, actually put some tools in place if you're going to choose something to not judge yourself in the process, because it's going to show up the way it shows up, the way it shows up. You know, you may start out hot and heavy in January doing something, and then by February it's changed, and maybe you don't yet have the tools in place to start wondering about that. But at the very least, interesting point of view, I have this point of view, is something you can say to every single thought, feeling, and emotion that comes into your head. It's very strange, but when you do that, what it does is it takes the charge off that thing, and you can just be more space, be more you. And the other thing is, like, who does this belong to? Who does this point of view belong to? Who does this judgment belong to? Who does this thought belong to? And is it mine or someone else's? And then returning that to sender with consciousness attached, so that you can just be the space of you. It really doesn't matter what you're choosing. It doesn't matter how many tools you've used or how many tools you haven't used, or if you're into access consciousness or not at all. The more you judge yourself, the more you can't change anything. So, I mean, if I could give two tools to the rest of the world, like, forever, it would be those two tools of, like, just do that, and then everything else becomes a lot more possible. That's where I would start, so, anyway.
that's terrific. Those are powerful tools, and they're really basic tools of access consciousness, yet we often forget about them. Not at all.
Yeah.
Crystal, I love what you said about learning about yourself has been the adventure of a lifetime. So, and you just commented on how you said, oh, okay, cool. Like, I judge myself. Okay, cool. So can you talk about that, about how, rather than going into the wrongness of you, you use your life as your learning as an adventure, and the things that show up as an adventure to creating your life?
Yeah, and I'll start out by saying that sometimes I suck at this. Sometimes, you know, it's not an adventure. But I would say, like, you know, if there's one area of my life that for me has definitely been an adventure, where I really seem to get it. I could talk about another area where I really struggle. But it's in this area of dating. I've actually talked to a number of, I'm 41. I've been on the dating scene for, you know, 2 or 3 years. And I really have, from the beginning, treated dating as the adventure of learning about myself. I think a lot of people go into dating with all of this significance of, like, you know, you need to, it's all about something, right? It's about finding the one, or it's about finding the perfect sex, or it's about finding whatever it is that you're wanting to find. That's what dating is about. And from the beginning, I really went, you know, no matter how this date turns out or how this series of dates turns out, I am going to come away knowing more about myself. And for me, that's what made anything and everything exciting and adventurous and worth it. In fact, I had my first date probably, I don't even know, 3 or 4 months ago, where the guy that I was with actually got really offended by something I said. And it was the first time where I could tell that he was about to walk out. And I hadn't been rude. I hadn't been, you know, I hadn't been anything. I'd been myself, right? But I was watching his world after this thing had come out of my mouth. And I was watching him, and I was like, "You all right?" He was just like going into fits and spurts and just losing his shit on the other side of the table. And I was like, "I can pay for, you know, it's fine. I can pay for dinner. I did most of the eating. And if you need to go, you can go." But there was so much lightness in my world. I'm like, I am about to be walked out on. That is a first. How cool is that? That one, there's no charge on it for me. Two, there that I'm like, I'm not judging myself. I'm not upset about it. Like, it's totally okay that he has his reaction. Like, how amazing is it that I have gotten this far? So it was a real opportunity for me to really acknowledge myself and acknowledge how far I'd come. And that's kind of an extreme example. But with every single situation and every single person, there was something that I learned about myself. I would learn about how I function in the world or how I function now and what I'd like to change, what I really valued, what I really desired in a partner or in a, you know, series of partners or whatever. What I thought I wanted and what I actually desire, you know, and so it was actually this active playing out of choice creates awareness. You know, Gary talks a lot about that in Access Consciousness of like choice creates awareness. Awareness doesn't create choice. So it isn't until you get out there and you're choosing and you're actively participating and living that you get the awareness of what it is, how you work in the world, how you function, how you who you are, not from a definition, but of like, oh, what do I really desire here? And how does this work for me? Oh, it doesn't work very well. Okay, what tool could I use to change it, you know? But that, I would say, is probably my, like, that's just my philosophy about life in general.
Well, and, you know, I there's such a lightness to what you're saying, too, that about choice creates awareness. So get out in the world and choose something. So many people just have that place where they stop, you know, they won't go out and date. They have all kinds of decisions about that. So they don't choose to do that, even though they would like a relationship. So the way you talk about it is so light in just making a choice and then not making yourself wrong if it doesn't work out. And I have found the same thing with dating. I have learned so much, and it gave me the willingness to acknowledge how much I've changed. Like you said, like when I first started dating, oh my gosh, I would be on an online dating site, and then if somebody didn't respond to a message or a wink or something like that, I would so judge myself that something was wrong with me. And I would go out and date and just hope that they liked me. And I remember the moment when I was going on a date and I thought to myself, oh, I hope I like them. It was no longer about the need for them to like me. It was more what I wanted, you know, like I hope this works out. I hope that I like this person. And if I didn't, or actually I can't say I ever had a bad date. I always had a good time. It was like an adventure. And that is such a switch from the way it was. So acknowledging.
Yeah, totally.
Go ahead.
That's huge. And you're right. There's a lot of people that stop. And this is, I mean, what I would encourage everybody to do listening to this dating conversation is apply this to every area of your life. Because it's like, you know, a lot of us choose to get into a situation or choose to get online and judge ourselves for it. You know, exactly what you said. Oh, they didn't respond. Or I remember when I first got onto Tinder. Tinder's this dating app in North America where you can swipe left or right based on, I see your picture or I read your little mini profile and I swipe left or right. If you swipe left, you're like, you know, not interested or something like that. And if you swipe right, you're interested. Well, there was a few times I swiped right and then, you know, the other person swiped right and oh my gosh, we're a match. And got into a conversation, and whatever I was being in that conversation made that person like unfight me, and they just disappeared. And there was a couple of times I was like, oh, I guess I offended them. I didn't even know that I could do that. That was so cool. But you could,
and you're willing to offend people, huh?
Oh yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, well, and I get that's not normal, but what I would look at with anybody doing that is like, what if nothing, including dating, was significant? Like, and this is, I know that's a huge thing because there are so many things in our life that we're taught are significant. You know, relationships are significant and dating is significant because. It's all linked to this because. It's because you're looking for the one, or because you want to be a nice person, or because you, but all of those are decisions and judgments. And what I found in my life is like creating from decisions and judgments only created more judgment of me, or more, it wasn't light, you know? And that's, if you're listening to this for the first time, I mean, light and heavy is, again, one of the first tools of access. But it's so funny. In Access, we give you all of the big guns first. So what's light for you is true for you, and what's heavy is a lie. So when I was creating from this decision that dating had to be serious and sex was serious, like, it wasn't light. It was really heavy, and I constantly had to judge, is this the right sex for me? Is this the right partner for me? You know, and deciding and concluding about different facets of them. And anyway, it just took all the joy right out of it. And when I took the significance off and I just made it play, the play of discovering other people, the play of discovering myself, the how I tick in the world, like, how do I work? Do I like this sort of setup? I tried dating in every scenario. I tried open relationships, and I tried multiple dates, and I tried like one-on-one, and I tried I just really experimented with like, what is my reality? You know, because we're so psychic, we pick up on everybody else's reality, and we also have this socially ingrained thing going on where it's like the reality we're supposed to want looks like this. Here, we'll show it to you in the media over and over. We'll you know, propose it in every single movie. This should be your reality. Like, who said? Like, who made that rule? Like, who wrote this book, right? If it's all just an interesting point of view, what's mine? And I just realized in most of the areas of my life, I didn't know. I didn't know because I hadn't, you know, I'd been shown one thing in my family and shown other things in the media and done things that I thought I was supposed to do that didn't work for me. So it's like, I was just really curious, like, what does work for me? Let's play with it and see.
So that, and I think that would...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's a great question to ask starting the new year too, like rather than
totally.
Just making our New Year's resolution, like what is it that I would truly like to change? And I have found, I mean, I've been using Access tools for 10 years and I'm still becoming more and more aware every day how much how I'm creating my life is not even my reality. So that question of what is my reality is so, so valuable. Really.
It is. And it's really one of those questions that is in every, like we talk about choice in every 10 seconds. And that commandment, so to speak, it's not really a commandment, but like how you have a new choice in every 10 seconds. What would I like to create as my life is one of those questions I find that I'm almost constantly asking if I remember, you know, because it's easy to get into habits or things that you just do and not question them. And, you know, then you get down the road and you're like, why am I doing this? Do I even enjoy this? Is this fun for me? You know, like to find yourself in a place of not as much joy as you could be choosing. And so I find I'm really constantly looking at it and choosing something different or adding something to my life or, you know, changing something because I also change all the time, you know. And so, like, if you're actively involved in change and in clearing things out and in, like, you aren't the same person today that you were yesterday. So it's an ongoing creation instead of a maintenance of a life. And I don't think we're really taught to do that at all.
No, I was thinking exactly that we're supposed to choose something and stick with it. Choose a career and stick with it, choose a relationship and stick with it. That may work and it may not. So, change is okay. And it's okay to make mistakes. Yeah. It's okay to be wrong and
yeah, et cetera. And even in the stick with it, like it's okay to quote unquote stick with it. And what if every day you destroyed and uncreated what it was and actually chose to create that thing today as if it was the first day? Or, and when you like that, that's one of the tools that, you know, Gary gives us for relationships, but it's your relationship with your business or your body or your insignificant other or, you know, your friends, like destroy and uncreate everything that was yesterday. And it just gives you this energetic, fresh, clean slate to create from every single day. And I love that. And it means like, I can't get this wrong. You know, I can't get this life thing wrong. I have choice. I just always have choice. You know, if what I'm choosing, and that's the thing about resolutions is the resolution is like, dun, da, 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 I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it forever. Well, they don't work because that doesn't work. There isn't anything on the planet that ever stays the same. Like everything on the planet, including all the trees and all the weather and all the soil and everything changes constantly. And here we are as people thinking that we can choose one thing forever. And then we get frustrated at ourselves that it doesn't work. So that's, I mean, I would just look at that and go, okay, so if I could have anything in the life of me, a day in the life of me, what would I want that to be like? Is it the way I want it to be right now? Or would it be something else? And looking at those energies and then going, so where can I start with this? What could I add to my life that would begin to change this? And create a really different reality for me. Yeah, there's so many.
So Crystal, how do you mention that you use everything that you're engaged in mm-hmm. to create more? So can you talk about that a little bit? How you use everything you're engaged in to create more?
Me? I wonder.
I hear you. Can you hear me? Hello. Hello, Crystal. Are you there? Hello. Okay, we seem to have lost Crystal.
Cool.
I think it's Crystal we lost. Can you hear me, Crystal? Let's see. Yep, it sounds like her. Oh, the technology. How does it get better than this? We'll use some access tools now to see if we can rejoin with Crystal. So we've talked about asking questions to create something different. So one of the questions that we can use is, how does it get better than this? So when something's showing up that isn't working, then I'm going to just mute her because there's a lot of extra sound. So there's a question of, how does it get better than this? So when things are working out great, you can ask, how does it get better than this? And you're asking the universe to show you how it gets better. And you can do the same thing in a situation like this, when something's changing or it isn't going the way you'd like it to, or it's just not working out well, like something with technology. Then we can ask, how does it get better than this? And the universe hears us ask that question, and it can just change whatever was showing up so that it does get better. So like if I get a flat tire, how does it get better than this? And then maybe somebody stops and helps me with fixing my tire. So I think Crystal is probably calling back in. So let's see. Crystal? Can you hear me?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, good. Yeah, so we just lost you for a couple of minutes there.
Yeah,
so,
I had all this static on my end. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I heard your voice at first and then the static, but thanks for calling back in. That's great. So the question I had asked was, how do you use everything you're engaged in to create more?
I just don't, oh gosh, that's a good question. I think what it is like, it's just that everything that I choose in a day is a possibility for creation, for awareness, for something greater. So even if I definitely go in phases where I'm really being me and, you know, feeling like light and there's a lot of lightness and joy. And then I go through these, you know, slumps where I'm not choosing as much me and I'm choosing more smaller energies and more contraction and more, you know, not as happy. But even those periods of time, like, show me things about me. And I think the thing that I know that I've learned more than anything is like, me being aware of me is what gives me the possibility of changing anything. So even if like I'm not functioning great in an area, you know, like money for me has been one of these areas where I've had a lot to look at and become aware of and change. And so like this particular year, I'm really making a demand of myself to just come face to face with all the hidden places that I function from lack or need or, you know, all the stuff that you typically don't think you want to look at because you've decided that it's bad about you. But I think the thing I know is that, like, there's nothing that's bad about me. I'm just me. And, you know, I'm psychic and I've been, as a being, I've been around for millions and billions of years or whatever, and so I've accumulated all of these different points of view that probably aren't mine. And so all it is just finally shining a light on these different little pockets of unconsciousness and bringing the light of awareness to them and going, oh, hello, unconsciousness. Would you like to change? Do we want to choose something different here? Can we use a tool here? So that I can actually be the magic that I am and the possibility that I am, you know, and function from wonder and lightness instead of all the heaviness of, I don't want to know, I don't want to deal with that. You know, if I look at that, it's going to mean that I'll find all this dark and bad stuff that I don't want to see. And the one thing I know is that it doesn't matter what I've looked at, I only ever find more greatness there. I only ever find more of me there. So in that respect, like everything you do in life, whether you're going to a yoga class or you're laying on your floor or you're creating a business or you're working a job, like you can always just start looking at, well, how do I function? That question too is like, that has given me so much information about myself in the sense of, how do I function? Like, do I move really, like for me particularly, I move really fast. I'm aware incredibly quickly about a number of things. If I don't have 25 tabs open and 16 things on the go at the same time, I'm literally bored. And if I try to do things like everybody else, I'm also bored because I can pick up on how they do them really quickly as well. So I can duplicate that. But then if I decide that duplication is what's going to create result B, if you know, action A is going to create result B, then I'm also bored. So like there's all these different little idiosyncrasies about me that if I didn't know them would make me make myself wrong. You know, oh, that must mean I can't commit and I can't stay focused. And I would judge them if I didn't just acknowledge, oh, that's just the way I am. You know, in the same way that I know that I'm going to lose my keys if I don't put them in the same place every time, this over here is just the way I am. This is, and not that I couldn't ask for change, but there's these things that it's just like, oh, that's the way I function. Okay, cool. How can I create a business then with this way of functioning in the world, right? Instead of like, how can I create a business where I've got to bend and staple and fold and mutilate myself so that I can create that business because that's how you're supposed to create business. It's, oh, I function like this. Okay, so what's creating business as this? You know, this isn't going to look like anybody else's business because I'm not like anybody else. And that has given me so much freedom and continues to give me freedom. Like, it's an ongoing discovery every single day of like, oh, there I am again, trying to do what everybody else is doing. So if I were creating business as me, right, what would I be choosing? What could I be choosing? What is that level of joy that I don't see anybody else being this me in the world? So I can't compare this to anybody else. So what is that? And I find that when I ask those questions and I open up, I am truly curious about them, then the universe can actually start to contribute. Oh, this is what you could, this is an, here's some ideas and awarenesses and things that you could choose as you. So that's the gift of it, because it just makes my life so much easier. It makes it more fun. I'm not trying to fit into anybody else's box. Yeah.
So I, too, resist, or actually I've identified it as resistance, and this is what is coming to my mind now as you're talking about this, that there are certain things that they say you should do to create a business, you know, like going out and networking and things like that. And so I have made myself wrong because I've decided I'm resisting it. So what's the difference between not choosing to do something, but not being coming from it from a place of resistance? I think that's where I kind of am locking myself up.
Yeah, well, I would look at, you know, like, do you like to network the way people network? I mean, networking events are kind of horrendous. They're like, you know, they see a bunch of people in a, like, I hate networking events. They're annoying, you know, and why? You know, when I look at it, it's like, well, you know, networking events basically put a bunch of people that don't know each other in very awkward situations to have awkward conversations about things that really people aren't that interested in. So it's like, okay, so if I wanted to meet people, for example, I would just start, I would bring it all the way back to what I desire to create, right? So, like, for example, I am really desiring to generate a lot of energy in Vancouver around bars. Well, I've been asking, like, what would it take to have bars explode in Vancouver? What would it take to have bars explode in Vancouver? And then I've just been living my life, and I'm pretty busy. Like, I travel a lot, and I do a lot of online business. And so there's many days that I don't get out of the house. But one of the awarenesses I started to have was, like, I really do, my body wants to get out of the house. I really do require to run into other people. So what would make that fun for me, right? And that's the question I function from. It's like, I would love to have other people and new fresh energies coming through my life and conversations with other people. What would that fun for me? And so, like, I'm taking yoga classes now, and I've just joined a choir, and I'm looking at going, there's this blues dancing thing that happens on Sundays. I'm like, what would run me into a lot of people in ways that I just thoroughly enjoy? And that's what I've been choosing. And so I would look at that. It's like, what do you like? What would be fun? And
yeah,
I think that's that's the adventure of choosing, right? Like, that's going, you know, like, I found it, I've chosen yoga. I've been to 3 yoga classes now, big 3. And I thought, oh, I'm going to get into lots of conversations. No, nobody talks to each other there in yoga. And yet I see that, like, if I go for a while, I'll start running into the same people. And, you know, so I've had to also pock and pot, or just try and create my expectations of what's going to come out of that. And just look at the energy of it and go, is this creating the future that I'm asking for? And when I ask that question, I get yes, it is. So
cool. I love that. Just,
yeah. Yeah. I would, like, you know, like, and then the other thing with networking is, like, if you do want to get people together, if that is a desire of, like, oh no, I would love to create connections between business owners, what could you create that would make that fun? Like, what could you put together? Because here we try to fit into what everybody else has created that is, like, the gold standard of this reality, and go, and then we don't like it. It's not fun. So then we resist it. Then we make ourselves wrong. Well, okay, so if we just skipped that whole process and just went to, what do I want to create here? Oh, I'd love to bring business owners together and like see what we can all contribute to each other. That's a really different energy. And what is, how could that show up? You know, what is that at your house? Is that at a restaurant? Is that a meetup group? Is that like, how could that show up?
Thank you. That's awesome. And so it's really what I'm hearing is choose what's fun for you, like going to yoga or taking a dance class or going hiking, joining a hiking group or something like that. And everything that you're asking for will show up. It's not the force of trying to create something the way someone else says it's that's the way to create.
Totally. Yeah, that never works. It just never works. I've tried it so many different times. And sometimes I, you know, I'll find myself in the middle of doing force and I don't even realize I'm doing it. But I'm actually, but I'm in the middle, I'm not having a good time. And that's when I start to notice, oh, wait, what am I choosing here? Because it is actually, like, it's funny when this phrase, money follows joy, we kind of toss that around in access willy-nilly. And I, you know, for a long time, I was like, I was just annoyed by that phrase. I'm like, what does that even mean? But I've started to really see it lately. And that is like, when I'm really being me, like, I'm incredibly joyful. Like, there's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of lightness. There's nothing is really that serious. And when I'm being that, in fact, I remember I used to wait tables. And I waited tables off and on for like 20 years. And I started to really notice the days that I would make a lot of money versus the days that I wouldn't make a lot of money. Because I started to kind of wonder about that, like, what could I do to control it sort of thing or change it? And I didn't have the tools at the time. I didn't think I did. But what I started to notice is that the days that I made a lot of money, I was inviting people to my party. Like, if you sat in my section, you were at my party. And if you wanted to have a bad time, you could, but you were going to have to work really hard at doing that because you were at my party now, right? So I was like, this energy is like, hey, what's up? You know, like, welcome to my party. What can I get you? Do you want anything to drink? Of course you do. You came to eat here, right? So what can I, that energy, and it would just, it like, it melted everybody's barriers. Like, they couldn't have any problems. They had to have a good time in spite of themselves, you know. So it was just, it was such a different energy. And then the days where I went into work and I just didn't want to be there and like, oh, it was just annoying or my coworkers were getting on my nerves or I chose to just get wrapped up in all this other drama were the days where I didn't make almost any money at all. And so that, I've taken that awareness into the rest of my life. And again, sometimes I forget it, but I've been really choosing it lately of going, okay, so I decided I had to do this thing in business. And I notice I'm still deciding that and still, but I'm trying to fit in the joy to doing this thing, right? Like, I'm trying to find the joy in this thing. And, you know, instead of going, what else is possible here that I've never considered, right? Like, what else could I choose here that would actually be joy for me, you know? And until you ask that question, you can't discover it, you know? Like, there is no awareness there because you're not curious about it. So that has changed so many, that continues to change things for me all the time.
That's awesome. Thank you for that. We're about a minute and a half left. So Crystal, if people would like to get in touch with you, I know you do private sessions all over the world. You do them online. And you have, what are some of the things you've written? You're an author. So is there somewhere we can read what you've written? What's the best way for people to find you?
The best way for people to find me is either at my website, which is crystaljoycrawford.com, C-H-R-I-S-T-E-L, joycrawford.com, or Facebook. I'm so active on Facebook, and that's probably, private messenger on Facebook is probably the fastest way to get me. And yeah, I'm a featured author in The Energy of Play right now with Erica Glessing and like 19 other authors. And I've got probably 6 other books on the way. I mean, like one of my targets this year, speaking of resolutions that aren't resolutions, is to actually get, you know, a full, whatever full, like some e-books out and some actual, because I, like, you should see how much writing I have. It's crazy. But yeah, so that'll be coming soon. And I'm constantly, you know, creating my own classes. I have a How to Become Money workbook club that you can be a part of all year. And I've got a really fun clearing call coming on Thursday. So there's just stuff, new stuff coming all the time. And Facebook is probably the easiest way to just stay in touch with me and find out what I'm up to.
Terrific. Thank you. Thank you so much, Crystal, for joining us. And for our listeners, this will be archived. You can listen to it over and over so you can hear the tools over and over again. I have always found that very valuable because I miss half of what I listen to when I listen to things. So listening over is very valuable. So thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next week. Thank you very much, Crystal.
Thanks so much, Christine.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.